you were listening to a piano player named Jim Hessian, who's still alive. And this is a YouTube recording of him playing a 1917 song called Shimmy Shaw Wobble by Spencer Williams.
He's good.
Yeah. Classic ragtime song.
Yeah.
He's known as the Master of Stride.
I picture, because we play so much ragtime, and that is the music of the era.
Yeah.
Is it possible ragtime really was like a very short, it was a grunge kind of, where like, you identify it with the time period, but really only was like, you know, a couple of years out of it, you know?
So like in 1923, kids are like, oh, Dad, you gotta stop it with the ragtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so not cool.
Like, we think of the 90s as grunge, but there was really just like a short period overall.
Yeah. I still have a checkered shirt and think, oh, I can look cool if I wear this under over top of a t-shirt. And I'll look like one of the wicked kids. And
you know, I've
been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I dress. That's like my normal outfit.
Yeah, but I met people who were like, especially in the 90s, who were still wearing their clothes that they had from 20 years earlier, which was the 70s. So there were a lot of like Carl Sagan like sweater turtlenecks.
Yeah.
And wow, this guy's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching.
Yeah, my uncle had like a lot of 1970s shirts, like well, floral patterns.
Yeah.
But he, you know,
they kind of came back actually. Yeah, yeah. At a certain point, the Dave Gaplin Welcome Back Cotter look became in again.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the music that we play, there's no video component. There's a video component to this thing, so I'm watching this old guy bang around on a piano. And it's like an upright piano, too. It's not a nice piano.
Yeah, it's like a score sale kind of. So good. Alright, that's enough of
this. Okay. Welcome to 100 Years Ago Today, the 1917 podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Ryan, and joining me as always is Vinny Ariello.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Wow. We did it at the same time. Yeah. So we're going to get the sponsorship right out of the way. Well, our sponsor this week is Ryzen Revenues on Columbus Circle and 78th Street. If you get in your time machine and go 100 years ago in the past, you can enjoy a special Lincoln's birthday dinner for $1.25. You can also, at that same restaurant, enjoy an exceptional beefsteak dinner for $1.50. Served from 6 to 9 p.m. with elaborate entertainment. The fad of the hour, according to the advertisement. Jazz band, and then jazz is written in quote marks because jazz is not a recognizable word as of yet.
I imagine it's like that was like the general euphemism for like, you know, like Negro of the time. You know what I mean? Like that was like, we're trying to be PC here, but we're just calling it jazz band.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that jazz was meant any popular music.
Yeah.
So the word pop now, which can mean any sort of music that's in the top 40, regardless of what it is, becomes pop music by definition. That's what jazz was 100 years ago.
Oh, thank God I got some plank. I need myself a plank.
In the news of the week, Walter Lippmann got married 100 years ago today. Good for Walter Lippmann.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who Walter Lippmann is, he is one of the preeminent journalists of America. He has won 2 Pulitzer Prizes. One of his biggest accomplishments was criticism of journalism itself.
I know you say Pulitzer, huh?
I did say Pulitzer, yeah. Is it Pulitzer?
Well, I that's the thing. People will often say Pulitzer. See, we talked about Dr. Cole last week, our old journalism professor.
Uh-huh.
I remember him lashing out at somebody in class for saying Pulitzer.
Oh, it's Pulitzer?
That Pulitzer pronounced it Pulitzer. It's a Pulitzer Prize, and stop that very fancy talking.
Okay, I've been yelled at by proxy by the great man, Dr. Cole himself, so yes. I will say Pulitzer.
He didn't like Pulitzer. He was not a fan of fancy talking.
No, he wasn't.
No.
No, he grew up right in West Virginia.
West Virginia, yeah.
Yep.
Beaver, West Virginia.
That can't be the actual name of his town.
It is from Beaver, West Virginia.
So, Walter Lippmann gave the world...
That was the St. Olaf of TCNJ. I'm going to tell you a story about Beaver.
If any other teacher said that, they can go right to the administration offices, but not Dr. Cole. He's just talking about his hometown. So, Walter Lippmann gave us the word stereotype,
to refer to a way of identifying someone based on their group's characteristics as opposed to their individual characteristics. He also gave us the idea of the Cold War, that you could be at war with someone and you're not fighting or launching bombs. You are just in this detente where you dislike each other and you're weaponing up, but you're never actually going to fight. Mm-hmm. You're just going to waste all your money and waste all your citizens' worry on the fact that you will fight one day. He lived an interesting life, but we have much to talk about otherwise.
Why would you bring him up?
Well, he got married 100 years ago this week. It was news.
I was hoping for something more. I thought this was leading into something bigger.
We got a lot to talk about. We can't dilly-dally. No dillying.
So the biggest story of 100 years ago this week was that this guy got... What's the name of his wife?
It's been lost to the ages.
I think that should be part of the story.
He did have an affair with Hamilton Fish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Hamilton Fish is.
I don't know if Hamilton Fish is a man or a woman either.
Or a fish.
Maybe a fish. A cartoon character. The most popular cartoon character after Babe Boop and the Clown in the Inkwell.
Wait.
Hamilton Fish.
If his name is Hamilton Fish, maybe he's half pig and half carp. I would watch that
like a pig mermaid, a mer pig.
Yeah, in China they have a sort of fish cat. My brother was there and he took a picture, and he had this great elaborate story talking about how this fish cat thing was like the thing that created water, and there was a fountain where the water was spewing out of its mouth, and he labeled the picture "Barfing Fish Cat." Which is, I'm sure, a direct translation of the Chinese.
We got to get someone to draw up a picture of Hamilton Fish, the mer pig.
And please also draw Walter Lippmann kissing fish.
I'll get Jump Over Almost Guy, who did the artwork of us.
Oh yeah, that's on the website.
I should probably mention. Yeah, he did a drawing of us, and he, if you look for him, he's a comic. He was Jump Over Almost. He's actually doing a I don't know if it's a GoFundMe or one of the crowdfunding for a book of illustrations. So mm-hmm. We'll plug him because he didn't take any money for doing the picture of us.
Oh, thank you. So thank you, John.
Anybody who likes that picture, go. Yeah, you turn into Christopher Lloyd very easily, by the way.
Yeah, it didn't take much work.
No,
and maybe that's my future. Maybe I'm going to look in the window one day and see my reflection.
You're Doc Brown.
And I'm Doc Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I will then... should I say Great Scott? Or should I say This Is Heavy, which is a Back to the Future 2 reference?
Great Scott. No.
I'll go with the classic.
Yeah, because your hair is gray.
Yeah.
It's a little wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you turn into him very easily.
Okay. Speaking of classics, I'm going to pivot us onto our big conversation for the week. We are talking
about... Your movie's a little fish. You want me out of your house, don't you?
You are going to want to be finished with this conversation because we are talking about A Princess of Mars, the first John Carter book written by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
And you're going to be taking out every single... thing that ever happens to this character, aren't you?
We're mixing things up. Because this was so influential for the fields of science fiction, I'm going to start off with a quiz where you're going to find out about all of the influences. And only after the quiz will we then talk about the book itself.
There was a movie of John Carter. It was like one of the biggest bombs, right?
Yes.
The past 10 years?
Yes, and that's...
past 5 years, really.
Yeah, that's our Nickelodeon. If you want to go watch that movie, God bless you, because I fell asleep 3 times during it.
Is that bad? I didn't even know that I'm so unaware of this character.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that was like an old character that they were doing a movie of.
Right. When we'll get into that to talk about how there's no meat left on the bones of John Carter.
Okay.
So where'd the quiz go? Here we go. The inspirations behind John Carter of Mars. The warrior caste on Mars is called the Jed, which sounds very much like another warrior cast from science fiction, the...
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I mean, it's got to be Jedi, right?
Jedi, yes.
Oh, all right, so is that
yes.
easy? All right.
Yes,
that's
it's
one
that one, easy.
That's the ones that was so easy that I thought it that couldn't it, be...
Yeah.
I thought that there was a trick there.
That it was like some really, really obscure character from Dune.
Yeah, that you were going to come up with, like, no, not the Jedi, the Judds.
How do you not know about House Carconian and Bene Gesserit? Duh. No, it was Jedi. And that's where George Lucas got the name from.
Really?
Yep.
I've heard George Lucas stole a lot in that movie.
Stole is probably an accurate word, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you could also call it tribute. Mm-hmm. But they hadn't been made, and it's in public domain, so it's legal theft. So, John Carter's namesake, another character named John Carter, was the star of what medical show?
Let's see.
Dr. John Carter. I'm guessing it's a show you didn't watch.
Carter MD, is there?
No, this is
Chicago ER. Hope.
ER.
ER, okay. I didn't watch ER. No, I never did. I never did. It was on for like many years.
It was on for like 13 years.
Yeah. And I never actually, I never sat down and watched it. I've never seen a whole episode of ER.
Okay. Well, that explains why you got the question wrong.
ER is one of those shows where if you told me it was still on the air, I could buy it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah, like, I would just assume it's like a Law and Order thing where it just
goes on forever.
Just goes on forever. Like, I have no idea because I know it was on a long time and you could probably still convince me that it's actually in season 25.
Right. Okay, next question. The Barzum of Mars are a proud warrior race, just like the proud warrior race from Star Trek, the...
Klingon.
Klingons, good. John Carter can leap tall buildings...
Can you speak any Klingon?
Not that bad.
No.
No.
Are you're more Star Wars than Star Trek though, right?
I think so, yeah. But that's because Star Trek was around earlier. If you wanted to really nerd out, you need to be like in your 50s or older. And anything younger than that, then you're aping with the older nerds and their nerdery. Mm-hmm. But we have newer, younger things to nerd out at. So John Carter, when he gets to Mars, realizes that since Mars's atmosphere is lighter, he can leap tall buildings in single bound, just like
Superman.
Superman, yes. That's where Superman got it from. Before he flew, he was just someone who jumped.
Really? Superman didn't fly?
No. For like 20 years, he didn't fly.
He just jumped?
He just jumped. That's why they said he leaped tall buildings in a single bound.
I just figured that's like when he was like, a little tired. Didn't feel like flying.
No, and that's still how the Hulk travels. They'll have to mention that the Hulk, like, if he went from New York to Los Angeles, did it in like 45 gigantic jumps.
Now, yeah, well, Superman would do that. Like, say Superman had to go to like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
How big would his jumping be?
Old school Superman would have to jump pretty far. But as he got better with his powers, he was able to stay in the air longer, and then eventually he just stayed in the air all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the jumping
was like a kangaroo type hopping, or was it like a leap jump? Like
it was a leap jump. Like they would draw a building, and then they just draw an arc going whoop over the building, and that was Superman.
Because Superman just Superman hopping like kangaroo style, just the same effect.
No, and it speaks to what they were thinking in the 1930s when they decided what's the most like audacious superpower we could imagine, like. Leaping. Imagine you could leap so high.
We've all had that dream where you can leap. Well, yeah, do you need a cape to leap?
No, but the cape was a way of showing that you were moving. Because otherwise it just looks weird if you're leaping in like a three-piece suit.
Wait, now, I'm assuming the cape is for flying. Like, it serves like a purpose while flying.
Mm-hmm.
Can you fly without the cape?
Yeah, he can fly without the cape. The cape's just
decorative. Does he even need the Superman costume?
No, he doesn't need the costume. But
so he could just wear like khakis and do it.
Yeah, but then if he gets shot by bullets, he'll be fine, but the khakis will get all ripped up.
Mm-hmm.
The suit is bulletproof as well. So that's why he rarely has any like.
It'd be very embarrassing for him more than anything.
Just, yeah.
Get shot and you're naked. like a fastball coming Charlie Brown's way.
Man, you've saved the world, but I can see your pubic hair. Can you do something about that? There's kids here.
I can't. It breaks the razor. I imagine his pubes would be like a spit curl, just like the
reverse spit curl.
Yeah.
Oh, I never thought about that. Okay, back to the quiz. The aliens of Mars, John Carter's Mars, are giant primary colored naked aliens, just like what James Cameron 2009 film?
The avatars.
Yes, Avatar.
The avatars.
The avatars.
We've talked about Grandpa. We've talked about them. How we're not sure anyone knows this movie or likes it. Disney invested a lot of money in building a.
Yeah. So, despite Mars being a much more advanced technology, they are basically tribal warriors, just like what series that would be written by Robert E. Howard about 15 years later.
Wait, go back.
Okay, the aliens, even though they're a more advanced race than humans, are living out like tribal war, and that's just like the tribal wars that are acted out by the.
I don't know
the characters in Robert E. Howard's Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, next question.
And those are movies I've seen.
Yeah. A desert planet with multiple warring alien races is the premise of Frank Herbert's 1950s book.
That's Dune.
Dune, yes.
Yeah.
I've actually never read Dune.
I've never read it. I've never even seen anything with Dune. I know nothing of Dune. I know that there's... a desert involved.
Yeah, there's a desert.
It's where it gets referenced a lot.
Yeah.
You know, anytime someone's like, yeah, a movie where they're in the desert, they reference Dune.
Dune is like the cricket of science fiction, in that the only thing most people know about Dune is like, oh, it's so complicated. There's so much to know. But then once you get into it, it's awesome. Mm. But
I've never heard anybody say that about cricket.
You haven't?
No. I've just heard it's long.
Yeah, I've heard it's long and very complicated and you'll never understand the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with Dune. It's not just a desert planet. There's like six other planets you need to know because the people from the six planets come to Dune and then there's some sort of alien that's like Nightcrawler who can teleport people around.
So that way, and you have to know this going into the movie?
Yeah.
How do you find out about this?
You don't, which is why the movie makes no sense. The movie was supposed to be 6 hours long and they cut like 4.5 hours out of it.
Have you ever met like a Dune fan? Like someone who's like, oh, I love Dune. Man, oh man, Dune. I'm all about the Dune.
I played
a Dune bro.
Yes, I did. Those are all my friends in high school.
Wait, hold on. So your friends in high school were all like...
They had the Doom tabletop game.
Really? So yeah. They knew anything about Dune now.
And I've played the Dune tabletop game a lot without having understood any of what was going on.
Is it similar to like... like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of game? Or?
No, it's closer to Risk, where you need to like take over the planet, and then there's a sandworm that'll eventually come and eat everyone, so you need to win the game before the sandworm comes, which is like the midnight hour.
Now, did your friends in high school make fun of you for not knowing Dune in the way that they did?
No, we were all in our own lonely, isolated worlds, but we were alone together, just like in the Billy Joel song, except we weren't. Listen to a piano man. We were playing tabletop board games, which is probably worse.
The way you describe it, it seems like there is a hierarchy among like geeks where it's like oh, you like Star Wars? Well, I'm a Dune guy. Anybody can like Star Wars? Any jerk?
Yeah, but no one would ever actually say that because everyone is down in the beta or gamma male demographic.
So they would never be that like.
No, it's more like it's Jane Austen.
You know, pre-internet. Now yeah. They'd have a place to voice these things.
Right. But everyone is aware of the social structure and the hierarchy. It doesn't need to be spoken aloud. It's just encoded in your DNA.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy the Dune tabletop game in any way?
I did, but I wasn't getting much out of it. There are tabletop games and card games for almost any like property you can imagine. And some of them are very inventive and come up with great ways of telling stories. There's a Star Wars Game of Life, which is fantastic. You know how when you play Life, there's like a shortcut and a long cut?
Yeah.
Depending on how you roll, you get to choose whether you take the short way or the long way. And all the shortcuts are the dark side.
Ah, very clever.
Yeah. And if everyone takes the dark side path, then whoever gets there first wins. But if only one person goes the long way around and stays on the light path, then they end up winning if they ever get to the end.
Now, I know you keep saying tabletop game. Is that different than a board game?
Tabletop game is the new way of saying board game. The way that card games...
I don't think it is. You made that up.
No. Tabletop is different than board game.
So like Parker Brothers put out a memo saying like...
because it's not necessarily board-based.
Oh.
It opens up a wide variety of things that aren't limited to a square that you can fold into a rectangle.
You're kind of in with the whole game. Is it gamer or gaming culture?
Yeah, you can say gaming culture.
People who play, you go away for like game weekends.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those. I haven't participated in many of them because I'm mostly there doing book stuff. But yeah, I think
you just went. Didn't you just go away for a game weekend?
Not that long ago. No, I took a year or so off from.
I remember somebody different who went away to. They went to
some cool guy.
Well, no, they went to a friend's house and played board games for a weekend or something.
Oh no, that was me. That was me. Yeah. I was thinking of a convention, but it wasn't a convention. It was just a friend's house.
Yeah. Did you guys play Dune?
No, we played other games.
No.
Okay, back to the quiz. There are still more inspirations from John.
You should have slipped that ballerina.
Call back to last week. Okay, so a hero being pulled to an alien world is the same premise as this rocket-based hero who started off life as a Jets quarterback.
Hmm.
Jets quarterback is the big clue there.
Let's see. Something involving... Let's see, which Jets quarterback? Was it like Vinny Testaverde?
No, it was a fictional Jets quarterback.
Kenny O'Brien. All right, the Rocketeer. You said Rocket.
Rocket, yeah.
Something from Rocketeer.
Nope, Flash Gordon.
Oh.
You didn't know Flash Gordon was a Jets quarterback?
That's right, he was a quarterback. I remember this now, yeah. Now you threw me off a Rocket.
Oh, I thought I was giving you a gimme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I do know that. Flash Gordon.
Flash.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, that was horrendous.
Yeah, I was just going to... Normally I'd make fun of you, but it was so bad I thought... I didn't want to call any attention to the fact that it happened.
That's 4 years of high school, in a nutshell. Okay, a former soldier in a futuristic world where he quickly takes over is the premise of which contemporary of Flash Gordon?
Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers, correct. Buck Rogers in the 24th century, I think.
I don't know much about Buck Rogers, but I knew
the show?
Well, I knew the parody Duck Dodgers.
Daffy Duck. With Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
Final question. A Zeta Beam transfers the You're Never Gonna Get It DC Comics hero from Earth to the distant planet of Ron.
I don't know.
No, his name's Adam Strange. I didn't even know this guy until...
Is he related to Dr. Strange?
There was a lot of strange people back then.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he's unrelated because he's DC and Dr. Strange.
Golfer Curtis Strange?
I don't know that guy.
See, either. And that's something you don't know.
No.
All right, yeah. See, we can both play this game.
Yeah.
I'll throw out some PGA names. See what you know.
He's a golfer?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a golfer named Strange?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Is he good? Well, I guess he has to be good.
He's older now. He's not really around much.
Oh, now I feel even worse. Mm-hmm. Because he's been golfing for a long time if he's like a PGA legend. I haven't heard of him.
Yeah. So tell me about this movie, though, of John Carter, the big bomb.
We're getting the film itself. So.
Sometimes I have to remind you that we need to keep going.
So the movie is faithful to the book's opening. And the book's opening is horrible. It's something I've begun to dislike more and more over the years, where the author comes in and says, by the way, this is a true story. I found this manuscript 20 years ago. An old bum gave it to me. And boy, it's definitely a real story, not just made up garbage I typed myself.
Like Blair Witch.
It's pretending to be found footage by Edgar Rice Burroughs saying that someone gave it to him.
And it was a bum that gave it to him.
Yeah, but it's a very complicated explanation because it was like when he was a boy, he met an old man who was John Carter.
I see, what's the point of this? Because nobody's buying the story anyway.
No.
It's not particularly interesting.
So you need to have that one flashback to include John Carter as an old man meeting the boy, Edgar Rice Burroughs, who then tells his story. But then you need another flashback because... The John Carter story begins during the Civil War because he fought in the Civil War and he was on the losing side. And then he goes off to be a prospector in New Mexico or Arizona somewhere. And while he's fighting off Indians, he hits his head in a cave. And then this goo comes over him and transports him to another planet. Mm-hmm. So it's like 20 pages of what the hell am I reading before you actually get to like the warrior on another planet.
Okay.
And then when you get there, you realize why no one's ever made a John Carter story. Because you're meeting crazy animals, crazy aliens. There's the whole thing with gravity where he can't actually walk, but he can like jump super high, which means he's also super strong. Mm-hmm. And the aliens, because they're living in a lesser gravity, are all like 9 feet tall.
Yes.
Because that's why we're not 9 feet tall, because we have gravity that's
slowing us down, yes.
Right. And all of this he introduces as a way of saying, I would soon find that they are 9 feet tall because of their gravity. But that's him telling us, the reader. He's not showing us how he learns that. So if you were to film this, which they did, you need to have John Carter either be really, really dumb right away and have someone explain it to him, or be really, really smart right away.
And just easily figure it out.
Right. And then talk to himself about it.
In other words, you're better off just dropping this entire thing in the movie.
Right. But this is like 80% of John Carter figuring out how the alien world works. And he quickly becomes friends with an alien and very, very quickly learns how to speak the alien language, because otherwise he's, you know.
Now, why did they... All right, here's the thing. What made them decide that they want to bring, like, this whole franchise out, uh-huh. You know? Like, was there anyone who was really excited for...
No.
This no. franchise? Like, there's no, you know, 100-year-old... It was almost like Disney was being run by a 100-year-old man.
Right. And there were a lot of Disney films that were exactly that way. Like, Walt had an idea in 1907 that there should be a movie of Rapunzel. And dadgummit, 108 years later, we made it. Mm-hmm. But that's not why you would make the movie. You made the movie because you came up with a good concept and you figured a lot of people would go see it. Not because it fulfills Walt Disney's dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he wanted to make a John Carter because he wanted to make everything.
Yeah.
But because so much of John Carter had been strip-mined over the years, a faithful retelling of the story is like, this is, why are you telling the story? This is like...
Every other
movie you've ever seen, exactly. So, we have the really confusing opening. There's a lot of unusual language. I'm going to read you just a second of it. This is, imagine 200 pages of this. My longing was beyond the power of opposition. I closed my eyes, stretched up my arms toward the god of my vocation, and felt myself drawn with a suddenness of thought through the trackless immensity of space. There is an instant of extreme cold and utter darkness.
Well, you know, he's a Civil War mm-hmm. veteran.
Yeah.
When you hear like the old like Civil War letters, like in the Ken Burns documentary, they mm-hmm. do have a very similar sound to that.
Yeah.
So imagine if a Civil War soldier were to write science fiction.
This is what it would sound like. Yes. Yeah.
My dearest Florence, Yeah.
I'll give you another little taste of John Carter dialogue, because it's all just kind of, you know, spoken. And there are a lot of names to get over that you would throw a red flag on. It's like, I can't take a story seriously if this is the name that you've included. And it's like every noun. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
They have decided to carry her with us back to Tharc and exhibit her last agonies at the great games before Tal Hodges, replied Sarkovja.
All right, so that Tharc is the planet?
I think, or maybe a city on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And
very like Don Martin sound effect.
Yeah, I forget what...
Tharc! Tharc floop!
Now I'm not going to be able to read any more of these, because every time I see Tharc, I'm just going to imagine a Don Martin character. Like... Like opening a door into his face and then slowly peeling off.
Skloosh. You a big Don Martin fan?
I was. I remember when he went to Crack Magazine, it was like a big deal because they put him on the cover.
I think we've talked about Don Martin a couple of times already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for Crack for becoming relevant in the internet age.
Far more than Mad.
Yeah. Yeah, Mad may go the way of the dodo. Or maybe they'll finally...
Mm-hmm.
They were in the news recently, in 2017, because they made a cover of the White House with the St. Basil's onion domes over top of it. Mm-hmm. And then Time Magazine ran basically the exact same cover.
Wow.
3 months later. But it's an interesting study because the same image put on a... shown as for laughs is one thing, but shown for real has a whole different opinion, even though it's the same idea.
Mm-hmm. Florp.
So the aliens in this are called the Bazoon, or no, the Barsoom, which kept me thinking of a minor character from the Devil's Advocate called Eddie Barsoom, who is Jeffrey Jones's character.
See, I'm thinking of it more as like a 1940s like word for boobs. Yeah, the old Barsooms on her. Yeah, like, you know.
I'm thinking of it as Al Pacino.
When mine's smooching her on the Barsooms.
He had a speech like, "It's Eddie Bazoom! Everyone in this world is just one big Eddie Bazoom!" And they show Eddie Bazoom running and having a heart attack. And he's like the representation of greed in the world. So all of the weapons in John Carter, because this was like science fiction from 100 years ago, they wanted to have it be futuristic, but, you know, they didn't know that much about the future. So the weapons are all run from radium. Radium was only invented in 1911. We're going to talk about radium more this year. There's a book called Radium Girls that I'm going to start reading.
Should I start reading this as well as I can be?
Maybe you should read it. Maybe one week you do the book reporting, and I'll be back.
I'll do that. I'm not a simpleton. I can read and discuss this stuff.
Okay, great. We'll find out something for you to read.
You know, I feel like that. I feel like something's like people listening to this may think that I'm dumb because you don't prep me on anything beforehand. You're here with like Wikipedia articles and you have all this stuff here. Mm-hmm. You don't let me see it. Then you bring it up and leave me to be like, oh wow, there was a First World War. Like,
but it's I'm doing the play by play.
Germans wore pointy hats. What?
But it works better when you're fresh. I think.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But I just don't. I don't want people to be misled.
No.
Into thinking I'm a dope.
No, you're not. You're not a dope. Laziness is not dopiness. It's a whole different vice.
But I said you just keep me in the dark and throw this at me.
Yeah. So there's two different alien races, aside from like the beasts of burden. There's the green guys and the red guys. Now, what's confusing is that the green guys are like committed communists. The red guys are not.
And so they didn't go red for commies?
No, because I guess this was before the Russian Revolution, which really cemented that red as communism. And I feel like they probably would have if this was written even 6 months later. Mm-hmm. And then it would have had a whole different set of social obligations. But as it is, this is like a metaphor for conquering the Native Americans.
Are these aliens in the movie?
Yes, there are red aliens and green aliens in the movie. The greens are like 9 feet tall. And the title character...
The reds are 9 feet wide.
the reds are more or less human size. And the Princess of Mars is red. And that's because John Carter's going to fall in love with her, and she's going to fall in love with him. And it'd be weird...
And make a pink baby.
It'd be weird if they fell in love with someone who's like literally twice your height. Mm-hmm. And you can maybe reach up and grab her waist. That would just be too hard to film visually.
Yeah, like kind of like an Amazonian fetish.
Yeah, it would look like Mini-Me mm-hmm. having sex with someone.
Which I think he had a sex tape released years ago, right?
Really?
I think so. I've never seen it. I remember hearing about this.
Sure you haven't. Okay.
I haven't.
So you learn a whole lot about...
I'd remember it if I saw it, I'm pretty sure.
You learn a lot about the Martian bone structures. You learn a lot about weapons and horses and dogs. This counts as...
This is like the kind of minutia that, like, it takes like a special breed of geek to enjoy.
Right, right. If you want to explore an alien world, a very well thought out alien world, and this is one of the first... Of those, if not the very first, then this is an exemplary version of that. And the adventure is almost secondary to learning about how the world works. I heard that this falls under a broad topic of portal fiction. In this case, a portal is literally a portal that takes you from one world to another. The Wizard of Oz obviously counts as portal fiction also. Mm-hmm. But a book like Shogun, or even you saw Brooklyn about the girl from Ireland coming to America? That's portal fiction. Because it's a girl in one world who's going on a trip to a strange new world, and you learn about the world through her eyes.
Okay.
One theory about why the movie John Carter falls flat is that they introduced you to the world of Mars for a couple of minutes, and then they start in with the whole Edgar Rice Burroughs as a kid thing, and then the Civil War stuff, and then the gold panning, and only then does he get to Mars.
We think also, like, in 1917, we just, like people were like, I wonder what's on Mars. Whereas now it's like, we're kind of aware what's on Mars.
Yeah. But back then, people thought that there was life on Mars. We just couldn't access it.
Yeah.
And they thought
and now it's like, we know. And so we don't really, you know, the whole thing's like, you need another planet.
Yeah, we need another place to go. Maybe that's why there's a lot of talk in modern science fiction about going to other dimensions or other realities or going to the past or future. Is that something we can imagine and we know has people in it and we can interact with it? Because did you see The Martian?
No.
It's
I should, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a great hard science fiction movie. But the hard science fiction movie means that there's nothing unrealistic about it other than that it takes place in a future and there's little speculative things. There are no aliens. Mm-hmm. At no point is there any thought of alien life. This is a dead planet with no oxygen and no water. So he's stuck in an area that's like trying to kill him actively at every second. Oh, something else that's unusual about A Princess of Mars. They call out repeatedly that all of the aliens are naked the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And John Carter himself is naked as well because his clothes do not transport up.
Is there actual like nudity in the movie?
No.
Is it just like full frontal the entire time?
No. In the movie they added like loose draping clothes. But if you Google the art.
Well, who wants to be like below a 9 foot tall naked alien?
If you want to see
fetishes
of people from 100 years ago, look up the like Princess of Mars art, because you will see green ladies, you will see red ladies drawn very tall and totally naked.
See, I'm picturing like if you're a normal sized person, like scrotums are constantly hitting your head.
It's like a kelp forest of dogs hitting you every time you go down the street. I borrowed that phrase. It's not mine.
Oh, man. Why give credit?
I just wanted to be respectful when I talk about a kelp forest full of dogs. Almost any paragraph is like a wealth of information and a conversation starter. You open up this book, take a paragraph, and there is something to talk about. Okay. It's not a boring
book. I'm not going to read it, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Just as like radium is the source of all the weapons, the level of technology, like, they have machine guns, kind of, but they don't have airplanes, really. They have airships, like we have dirigibles back in 1917, but we didn't really have, like, the jet airplane. So if you wanted to go from one continent to another, you couldn't get on a plane and go there in 5 hours. You get on, like, a big Zeppelin and go across in 4 or 5 days. So that's how they thought Mars worked, too. So they couldn't imagine, like, the airplane as we know it. They could imagine like the little one person.
I've always wanted to travel in a Zeppelin.
I would have loved.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's apparently a group in San Francisco that gives
not a blimp tours. A Zeppelin.
A Zeppelin?
Yeah.
I used to know the difference. I don't know the difference anymore.
I think isn't a blimp like inflatable, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not a good enough geek. But you do have to go to like California to find it. And there's so many rich geeks out there. I don't know why someone hasn't just built a blimp. Say, you know what? It's $100 for an hour. $100, you can go on a blimp for an hour and say you've been in a blimp.
Mm-hmm.
I would do that.
Yeah.
I would definitely do that. Bring the kids and say, look, we're in a blimp. And they'd be bored. It's like, shut up, kids. This is a blimp. I wanted to be in a blimp my whole life.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Yeah. And sing Blimpy Boy.
Hey there, Blimpy Boy.
One more bit of language from the John Carter world. Deja Thoris, Princess of Helium, and John Carter, Gentleman of Virginia, followed by the faithful Woola, passed through the utter silence from the audience chamber of Lorcus Potomal, Jed, among the Tharks of Bazoom. I read this book just last week, and I don't know what any of that means anymore.
That was like an actual sentence?
That was an actual sentence.
I thought you were just like throwing out like a glossary, kind of.
Nope, that's a random sentence. You need to decode it. Deja Thoris is the princess of Mars, and she's from the town of Helium. I don't know why they decided to call the town Helium. Woola was their servant, I think, and Lorcus Potomal was like a warrior. That's why they called him a Jed. And the Tharks, I think, are like horses, but, you know, horses like 9 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And Barsoom is the race that they're living in. But yeah, there's so many words that you need to hold on to and remember the definition of. And when John Carter took over and won against the Red Aliens and saved the Princess of Mars, he was greeted as liberators.
How many of these books are there?
I think there's like 7.
Yeah. Just like Police Academy.
Just like Police Academy, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I like when John Carter went to Miami Beach.
And at the end, they pull a Total Recall. Or I guess Total Recall pulls a Princess of Mars, where they all start dying because there's no oxygen in the air, which is a little nod to reality, because there wouldn't be oxygen, and I guess even in 1917 they knew that. But the story says that there are terraforming machines which are pumping oxygen out. So the last 20 pages are a race where they need to get to the oxygen machines and turn them on, otherwise everyone on the planet is going to die. Then it gets very confusing at the very end, because he goes back to Earth, but then says it was 10 years that have passed. And I'm still not sure if they mean like he went back to Earth and it's been like a week, and then like 10 years later he tells the story, or if it took him 10 years to travel transit back, or if the story we read about him leading a revolution on Mars actually took 10 years of time, and they just never said, oh, by the way, it took him 5 years to learn how to speak the language, another 5 to learn how to ride a fawn, so it took 10 years. I don't know.
I don't think anyone's ever really thought about this.
No.
They're just probably happy it's over.
Yeah, people did, but I'm not one of those people. We've learned a lot since 1917 about storytelling. We've learned a lot about being concise. We've learned a lot about not using nonsense words when you can use regular words. Learned a lot about introducing some humor so that things are obviously ridiculous or are called ridiculous and kind of lampshaded a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
On to our birthdays. Having a birthday this week is Raymond Burr.
Ah.
Old Ironsides himself.
Mm-hmm.
I call him Ironsides, but I've never actually seen the show Ironsides.
No. I think that I know Ironsides more as like when I would ask my parents to get me something, like physically, like, hey, can you get me a glass of water? They'd be like, hey, Ironsides, get it yourself.
Yeah, they tried to bring back Ironsides a few years ago. Blair Underwood played him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a cop show, except the main cop was using a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And it didn't last very long. Was it on in the 60s or 70s? It's like 70s to early 80s? Because he was Perry Mason also.
First. He was Perry Mason first, right?
Yeah, and that was black and white, so that was like in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And
because Ironsides would be 70s, I think.
Yeah, and that was when he had gained weight, because growing up, before I even knew anything about Ironsides from a wheelchair, if you said Raymond Burr, it was like, oh, that's a fat joke. Yeah, that's another way of calling someone fat. Mm-hmm. And I had never seen a picture of Raymond Burr. For a long time, I never did. It wasn't until those paper commercials where they cut in footage from a Perry Mason that I realized, oh, that's what Raymond Burr used to look like when he was young and was able to walk.
We remember they still had the Perry Mason movies, though, when we were...
I never watched those.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of them.
Oh, so yeah. My grandparents loved them.
Mm. Did you know Raymond Burr is in the first Godzilla film?
Yes, that I know. They inserted him.
Yes, they did. Not into Godzilla, into the film.
Another Police Academy thing.
Although we were talking about small men and large animals. You know, it's possible.
Yeah.
Godzilla is female in some iterations. Mm-hmm. Do you know...
I don't think Raymond Burr would have minded if she wasn't female, to be honest.
Do you know what his character's name is? Steve Martin.
Really?
Yeah. And I work with a guy named Steve Martin. It's just, you know, it's a common name, common first name, common last name.
Mm-hmm.
But there happens to be a very famous person who has that first and last
name. Yeah, there's no way you should, there's no excuse for you to be named Steve Martin if you were born after Steve Martin's fame.
Right.
Anything after the Jerk.
Yeah. And I would go further than that because he was a huge touring stand-up.
Yeah, but nobody, people were like, he's not going to last. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's my father was Steve Martin, and his father before him was Steve Martin. Like, so nobody, you know, they didn't think we'd still have Steve Martin.
Right. Right. And Martin's such a common last name that there's probably plenty of other famous people last named Martin.
Mm-hmm.
You can't eliminate all those names just because someone famous has
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird to think, like, one of the rules is we're going to have a boy, but, you know, if we can't name him Steve. Mm-hmm. That would just destroy him to be named Steve.
I picture just you have to have a constant conversation about it.
Yeah. I met a guy one time who said that his name was Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, no, I've heard all the jokes. And I was like, Challenge accepted. You've not heard all the jokes. Because there's the whole $7 million man jokes. There's the Stone Cold Steve Austin jokes.
Yeah.
There's the fact that you're mixing up those two.
You can even go back to, like you know, the original Steve Austin that, like, Austin was named after.
So, last thing we should talk about is movies. And for our Nickelodeon, you should watch John Carter of Mars.
No, you shouldn't.
I fell asleep 3 times during it.
I was getting so bored while you were telling me this, by the way.
But I want to say it's not the movie's fault. It's the story's fault, but not... The filmmaker said, you know, here's $125 million in a script, go make this. And he made the best movie he could. I fell asleep 3 times, but that's not... Okay, it is the fault of the movie. I don't know if the director should just...
So don't watch it.
No.
Yeah. No, don't listen to our recommendation. Don't watch it. Watch something nice.
Yeah. Or if you want a nice nap, watch John Carter of Mars and fall gently to sleep, like being rocked by a giant gorilla.
By a 9-foot woman.
Until next week, ahoy, ahoy.
Ahoy, ahoy.